Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Movie news.
Yes!
Rumors and rumbling.
That's awesome!
Let the filibustering begin.
It's time to talk movie news, rumors, rumblings here on another edition of the Mad About Movies Movie News Rumors Rumblings Extravaganza Roundup Jamboree.
Pro-Am for the cure.
Well, it's been a while since we've had one of these episodes. And honestly, it's long overdue. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. We got to narrow it down at some point to the essentials. And, you know, basically everybody's lives are consumed by two things nowadays. One, if you're me, it's Downton Abbey because I'm camping out. I'm out here.
It's a movie draft selection by you.
Yeah. I'm actually remotely recording this from a small tent. Mm-hmm. Outside of a United Artists Theater. Mm-hmm. It's the only one that's actually still open.
Period-specific tent, too. Like, you went all in.
It's Victorian, mm-hmm. Very expensive. It was not cheap, but...
And you're taking tea several times a day.
Right, right.
You got dedication.
You're Downton Strong, you know? Downton Nation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the only reason I took it in the movie draft was because I thought it cost $4 million to make because they already had the sets made and then they just kind of did another episode and threw it out. That was why I did.
That's
I played
actually
the financial.
What England still looks like today, from what I understand. Not super educated, but I think that's
You've
what
actually
it still
never
looks like.
Been to school.
Yeah, that's true.
You're
that's
a
true,
pre-K but, dropout.
But my understanding is, still looks the same.
You gotta think that it'll make money over there. So we shall see. A lot of movies coming out soon, but the other thing people's lives are consumed by is Netflix. Really, Netflix, streaming. Everyone just goes to work. Yeah, they pop on the Kentflix subscription and they just sit back and enjoy life. You know,
never lets you down.
And you know, I feel like this is the last time we're gonna kind of talk about the big three streaming providers, which is Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu, and Chicken Soup for the Soul Plus. that's the fourth. That's
my
the Fox.
One.
Yeah,
gosh.
That's the Fox of the
Crackle right. Chicken Soup. Of
they don't play by the rules either. No. Those Chicken Soup for the Soul.
They're not your grandfather's streaming platform.
They kind of are with Chicken Soup for the Soul, though. Yeah.
Fair.
So big news in the streaming wars, because we got some late entries into the game, shake things up a bit.
We don't have enough. Every day I'm like, geez, could I just get, I don't know, 30 or 40 more new television shows today, just today, please? Like, it's ridiculous, honestly.
It's funny, and this is gonna be a lot of this conversation, I'm sure, is just the competing for our attention aspect of things. But Disney Plus and Apple Plus, both with the same name for very ironic reasons. I don't know. Bob Iger being on the board at Apple had to have known, like, this had to have been like a, guys are doing Apple Plus. Let's just Disney Plus is the same, you know, it's kind of thing. Like, you know, he left like last week.
Yeah.
It's like right until the end.
No
like,
conflict of interest at all. Yeah.
It's just right. It's funny. It's cruise on into those board meetings and
that was
guys got it going on in here. Yeah. Oh, streaming service? Oh, sounds
that,
like.
That came across the wire last week. And I mean that, a wire. We have a wire service here in Mad About Movies headquarters. But and I was like, wait, what? He just did that? Like, that seems like something that should have been taken care of a long time ago. But okay. Yeah, it was a funny one. Interesting.
It's funny. That the Jobs family is actually the biggest shareholder of Disney stock still. Steve Jobs is...
It's kind of see something go right for them.
Yeah, fine. But look, two more Disney World trips for me, and I will be at the top of that list. So
yeah, just, yeah, you get the work of those frequent.
I'm getting close, man.
The
I'm getting
Phantom
close.
Girls. Well, it's between you two. Mm-hmm.
The thing about this is we laugh, but we're probably going to subscribe to these services. you know, day one, on November 1st. I think they're both scheduled to be here. We'll see about that. You know, technical issues aside. Oh, nice. Thank you. I appreciate the sound effect. They've already done a soft launch of Disney Plus in the Netherlands, and I've seen some stuff out there.
It's a funny place to do it.
Yeah. A lot of people speak English there, which is
not the
worst. It's like there's a state in the middle of Europe, and they're just testing it.
I just always think of them as being between 6 months and 10 years ahead of us, so it's just funny that they would have those services ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll tell them what's wrong with it and make it better before they can put it out too. So that's probably a little bit to do. Yeah. There's like, yeah. So hopefully they're ready with Disney Plus. But I want to kind of talk about the both of those services making their presence known fully. They've all done the press conferences. They made all of the announcements that they can make. And I want y'all's opinions on which one you think has the better chance. If both of them can find a market, their own audience, and succeed on their own without having to compete with anybody and get all of that. My personal opinion is that they can find their own niche. Disney Plus will find the niche with people with kids. Apple Plus will find kind of the premier people that would watch something like House of Cards on Netflix that can't get that fix anymore. You know, the kind of the premier HBO type content, and that's pretty much it. And if they do anything else beyond that, then great. But these are two companies with billions upon billions upon hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, essentially, and they have nothing to lose, really. So it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be really fun to see them dip their toe into this and shake it up. It's going to be fun to see the response from the other companies and to see what kind of, you know, if something is successful on Apple, what's going to be the counter program on Netflix and vice versa. So that's, you know, everybody's trying to have their Game of Thrones now, right? Netflix has, Amazon has this Lord of the Rings series coming. Apple has this Jason Momoa blind warrior show coming, you know? So I'm excited to see if Apple and Disney can bring something original to the scene. Like if The Mandalorian is big, how many, you know, bounty hunter shows can we get on Netflix? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know. I need more of that. So
you mean like dog cinematic universe?
Dog?
the DCU? Oh man.
DTBH CU. Dog the Bounty Hunter. Cinematic. It's disrespectful, Brian.
A prequel. Yeah. Rest in peace. He and was it Beth? That was his wife.
I don't know.
She recently passed. R.I.P. Yeah.
R.I.P. But them meeting in like, well, I would say college, but I mean, come on. But like, you know, them meeting when they were young.
It's honestly a shame we didn't do more Dog the Bounty Hunter while he was here. We should have had like at least the Crocodile Hunter had a couple movies.
I really think I saw something that they brought that show back. So
yeah, he's not as good on social as Guy Fieri. It's a real shame.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Is anybody though?
No. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. Chrissy
he memes so hard these days. Guy Fieri does.
Maybe.
He's got dank memes. Guy does. And hey, dank chicken tenders and
not
ribs.
Early to the party on much, but I was early to the party on Guy.
You were streets ahead, big time.
You were. You were. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives ahead, if you will. Okay.
Well, it's on the back tat says, bro. So
can we start writing content for Guy? Like, can he break out and start doing like Chuck Norris level?
He's pretty high on my celebrity hang list. Seems like he'd be. I mean, we all laugh at him, but like,
I feel like he could be an action star. I'm not joking. I feel like you put Tom Cruise and him in a movie.
Guy in the Fast. Oh yeah, we've talked about this maybe. At the end of Fast and the Furious, whatever the next one is, 10, 9, 40, they always barbecue. What if Guy was just working the queue at the house? And you find out that he's in La Familia.
Yes.
Oh.
Does he drink Corona, though? I mean,
Well, he does in this universe for sure.
Probably. He has to. Yeah, that's in the contract. So Disney Plus, Apple Plus, which one are you more excited about, Richard?
For me, I don't have children. Actually, you know what? Never mind.
That you
actually,
know of.
Is Mandalorian on Disney Plus?
Yeah,
it is.
Okay, then that. I think that was cool. And I like Bill Burr. And there's not really anything on Apple. I feel like Morning Joe is built to disappoint me, much like The Post.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm Disney Plus. But I say that in a whisper. So I can't. I won't ruin my cred.
Mm-hmm.
Vigo?
Can you any of this? Yeah, I mean we're going to be Disney Plus. I'm sure that we've got the kid and Mandalorian looks great and all. Pretty much everything they announced for Disney Plus, I'm just like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you putting this on my TV for $5 a month or whatever. That's awesome. That's a great deal. I think Apple's doing the right way, kind of treating it more like, we may have said this on the show before. I know we have off the air, but I feel like Apple Plus, the model is not Netflix. The model is Amazon Prime meets HBO, and that's totally what they went with. And that's a smart way to do it. Because
totally,
Richard, you said off the air, and you're totally right. Yeah, like this is
cheap.
Yeah, and it's very likely that these early shows on Apple Plus are going to be pretty hit or miss, leaning more towards the miss. And doing it this way gives you a chance to build your brand a little bit and also figure out what your platform is and what kind of shows totally are going to work and stuff.
And they can fail for two, mm-hmm, 3, 4 years, as long as it's not like a huge PR hit for them, which I don't think it will, but like, because I don't think any of the shows are going to be like terrible, but they're not going to be as good as they hope. And then they can get the right executives, mm-hmm, overpay for the right producers, understand that, yes, you have to spend for content, but
right.
You can't just throw $100 million at something and that means it's good. They'll figure that out, and they haven't. Obviously, they have like $100 trillion in cash, so they can wait it out. And I think they will be a player, but I think anyone that thinks that service is going to be awesome day one is wrong.
Yeah.
But it could be awesome in 3 years. It could be the coolest one in terms of really quality. But we'll see.
Yeah, and smart to include it with Apple. If you're getting a phone, is it an iPad too or just a phone?
It's any iOS, any new iOS device or Apple TV.
Because I gotta get a new iPad.
So basically, there's two services that Apple's pushing here. One is called Apple Arcade, which is like a gaming service where you can download games, play games online, share with your family. It's like a gaming version of Netflix, like an app store where you can download all kinds of games, whatever. And that is $4.99 a month for the whole family. So if you have kids that are always on iPads, if you've got three kids and they're downloading 3-4 games a month, you know, on the app store, that's going to add up, you know, more than maybe a $4.99 a month thing would. So that's a smart thing. People went nuts for that at the Apple keynote. And so out comes Tim Cook to talk about Apple TV, and he announces $4.99 a month for a family subscription for Apple TV Plus. And they threw in, like you said, Brian, 1 year free with any iPhone or smart new iOS device. So you get a year free. You don't even have to think about the subscription for a year when you buy it.
And
say what?
Sorry. I mean to cut you off. I was trying to talk in the background. In the words of Marty B, I got iPhone money, Jerry Jones money, Apple TV money, plus.
Ah, I don't know that.
You don't know Martellus Bennett's?
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah. I got iPhone money, Jerry Jones money.
Jerry Joan? Oh, singular Joan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it doesn't rhyme with iPhone phone unless you...
Exactly. So, iPhone money, Jerry Joan money, iOS devices. Mm, and
iOS
I think the Apple TV is really the key there, because the Apple TV box is streams in 4K. It's like less than $100, I think. It's $89, $90, something like that. And you get a subscription built in. So if you don't have the Roku, if you don't have anything, I think that's probably the way to go. If you don't want to buy a new phone or anything like that, I think that people are going to, that's going to be a great Christmas gift this year for people. Mm-hmm, great stocking stuffer, the Apple TV. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great Black Friday deals on that.
Yeah.
So
totally.
So they have that going for it. They have the market share of devices already. I'm sure at launch of Apple TV Plus, they're going to do some kind of push notification. Hey, sign up now. And they're going to push some number like, oh, you know, 700 million people have accessed our content in the first day, or, you know, all these kinds of crazy stats because of just the amount of devices they can push it to.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Mm-hmm. But will it be good? Who knows? I think the numbers will be high regardless, just because of the marketing push it's going to get, the curiosity behind it. But so there's two things here. One, Apple is all creating new content. That's, they don't have any content, right?
Try to figure out any way to be a subscription and not a hardware service is their goal, I think. I don't know. Who knows what they're doing?
And what Disney does have going for it is they have all this content already. You know, they're coming in with an entire back catalog of every Disney movie that's ever been made, and every Star Wars, and every Marvel, and every episode of The Simpsons, and so forth, right? So they have that advantage. Like, on day one, not only are you getting new content, new shows to maybe that maybe you're good, who knows, but you're getting all this stuff that you already know you love. And so I think that's probably where it, where it's going to win most people over. Now, will Disney come out with new great content? Who knows? But I think Apple is probably more along the lines of, if we release 100 shows a year and 10 of them are good, we're fine with that, you know, honestly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and with Apple Plus, you get a new U2 album every year too, and that's like worth so much. I would say
you will listen.
Songs of streaming.
Yeah, and Bono will mail you a leather vest.
That's right. Yeah.
I love U2. I'm Irish, man. I will not stand for U2 slander, but if I can make fun of them, I will.
There's what's our Mam-Fam? Mason, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Mason, like, the Edge Merritt.
Loves him some U2. Shout out. He was listening to this, and he's like, I bet they're about to shout me out. Shout out, Mason.
You think he still listens? I haven't heard from him in a while.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, VIP.
He's a VIP. Yeah.
We're close.
He's coming on an episode.
I call him
soon.
Mason Larry Mullen Jr. Merritt, but you can go with the Edge if you want. I also go Ivan McCormick. He'll get that joke. You guys won't, but he will.
So I think the point I'm getting at is I really don't see how either of these could fail out the gate, at least for a decade. You know?
Look, I think if Apple had gone in with, we're $12.99 a month and we are doing Prestige TV, I feel like that's primed to fail. I just think they did it the perfect way. Because, look, everybody, they keep doing things like we got Damien Chazelle to do a series, and that's awesome for us. That sounds magnificent. 90% of the streamers in America don't know who Damien Chazelle is. And it's not just that one. There was like 50 of those that they were announcing. Man, they're just racking up talent, but it's not talent that necessarily translates to huge. Yeah, totally. But it doesn't, you know, so many of these things don't necessarily translate to mass market. But then again, they countered it with the perfect way to get this service off the ground. That's a perfect price point. Attaching it to a device is a great idea, and just kind of giving it an opportunity to grow and find its legs. That's genius. And I'm glad they did for us. I'm glad they did that because it means we'll have more content that, you know, we can do 400 episodes a week instead of just the 350 we're doing now.
On you guys about that.
So the question is, what's the counter move going to be from the competitors? We already saw one today, Netflix announcing that since they lost the streaming rights to Friends and The Office, basically in a month's time, they got the rights, purchased the rights to Seinfeld starting in 2021.
Yeah.
And another bill right in Jerry and Larry's pocket. He's like, oh, you know, Seinfeld getting that call.
What is
like,
the deal with all these billions?
Yeah. Is Netflix, hey, Netflix, yeah. Oh, want more comedians and cars? Like, no, we're just going to, you know, like money, we're just going to put some more in your account for you. Yeah, oh, okay. So people want to watch it on Netflix now instead of Hulu. Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to give me $500 million for that? Yeah. Oh, okay. That's fine. You know, it's like just a weird, now yeah, they want to watch it on this now instead of.
After Comedians in Cars and everything moved over.
Yeah.
They probably.
And his stand up is on there now. Yeah. And yeah.
It's Hulu did a good job. I really like the presentation. I mean, I'm a Hulu guy. That's where I get my cable through. So I get the Hulu streaming content too. And I love the presentation of Seinfeld on there with the yada, yada, yada button and all that. It's pretty good. But, you know, Netflix is a.
Doesn't compare
Hulu,
to Kenflex.
I think, is going to find its niche more in the live cable streaming market than the. Original, you know, they're going to have like five shows, Handmaid's Tale and a few others, Pen 15, hopefully, if my wife's running, calling the shots, and then, and go from there. But hey, Kent, you're in line for Downton Abbey, right? Right now, as we
yeah.
do this?
Yep.
I'm in line for HBO Max because I just got to get my friends on. My HBO, Time Warner, my friends, my. Gilmore Girls.
Is that a new thing?
Yeah, they're doing I don't know why they're branding it HBO. It's non-HBO content, but their Friends and Office are moving to the... Is it Warner Brothers, technically, Brian? Is that why?
Yes. Is the or Office Comcast? Going to...
I think I the Office is going to that, but I could be wrong. Things. I'm also very stupid.
I think those are... I could be wrong on this, but I think Friends is going to there. HBO Max and... and The Office is going to the NBC one that they are doing.
Oh, okay. The Universal.
I think. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's what it is.
And a yeah. bunch of shows about Chicago. It's like Chicago
right.
accountants.
Chicago vets.
Chicago CPAs. Chicago. Yeah. That's all. Every time I watch things on NBC, I just, the Chicago's.
You know that they've had meetings or like, what other things are in Chicago?
I think I sent you guys this, but I mean, Chicago's a huge metro area, but they have this new show with Jimmy Smits.
Yeah.
And it's constantly advertised on all their subsidiary. You know, my wife watches a lot of Bravo and stuff. Which is NBC owned. So
and like Bravo, that's the Brian network. Right. It's just footage of Brian.
Yeah.
It's really right. good.
It's not sexual.
He's got three shooter sleeves on. He's getting corner threes up. Mm-hmm. But yeah. the, yeah, it's
Bluff,
it's
Bluff City Law.
Bluff City Law. And it's just a Memphis. About. It's about the yeah. law scene in Memphis with Jimmy Smits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's actually brilliant. With this splintered media strategy, with everything across a million different apps and channels and services, just you pick a city and you put their nickname in it and you go, we're not going to do that well, but this entire city will watch the show.
Yeah.
Like if they launched Las Colinas EMTs, we'd be like, well, mm-hmm. I mean, yep. we got to
support.
They film it here. We got to support
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Dallas SWAT. I watch Dallas SWAT all the time because it was like, oh, I'm going to watch the Dallas SWAT team.
So yeah. like, and maybe that's enough ratings if you just get one decently sized city to, like 80% of that market watches, mm-hmm. and it's just commercials for like local plumbers and stuff.
Yeah,
you can compete against Netflix. I don't know. That's my theory.
Des Moines dentists.
Yeah, exactly. They're all smoke shows.
I've got a.
It's on the CW.
I've got a streaming related recommend for weekly recommends for later in the show that I'm excited to share with you guys. It's in the same vein, and I discovered it over the weekend, and I'm excited about it. So can't wait to talk about that. So stay tuned for weekly recommends. But the question is, guys, how is this Apple TV Disney Plus thing going to affect our Rants and Raves, TV pilots episode?
Gosh, seriously.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, we literally started this thing with, it was the big four still. And we were just like, okay, we'll watch four. And there's like one or two that were on streaming that was like outliers. And now it's,
yep.
there aren't even any on network TV that are worth watching, it feels like.
Network pilots start next week, guys. I've got the I've got the sheet ready to go and send over to you. So get ready.
On ABC, Brian, do you have
Emergence.
The ABC
ahead of
you? Yes. Is it yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Emergence. And I think it's my manifest of this year.
Yeah, it looks very manifesty.
I'm all in on Stumptown this year, guys. That's mine. It's Kobe Smulders, and it's called Stumptown. So you need to watch it. That's it. Coffee. That's the entire pitch. Stumptown. There's a billboard for that, like, on 9:30 here. And it's just the word Stumptown, like, 60 feet high. Yeah. That's it. And then it's just like,
I think
Stumptown.
I think the premise for this show, and you guys are going to be, this is going to blow your minds. Are you ready? The premise for Stumptown.
Pretty sure. It's all tree stumps. Pretty sure. The entire, it's a chorus that was mowed down,
it's
and she's
pretty
an environmental activist that is pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to fix this Stumptown. I'm sorry. I probably offended somebody.
Stumptown.
It's worth it. Yeah. Stumptown. Coming soon to ABC.
And the theme song is a retrofitted version of, you remember the band Live? They had that song S-Town. It's just retrofitted for that. It's just
tight.
Gotta live in Stumptown.
If you guys don't know, Brian is in a Live cover band, so come see him.
Right, yeah.
At Trees in Deep Elm in October.
It's more of a one-man band sort of thing, but yeah.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned for that because that's one of my favorite episodes we do every year. Is we just talk about, we watch every show, every pilot, at least one time, try to make our way through the list. We do this for you, the listener, so you don't have to. And we do that and, you know, pick our favorites. And there's a couple of shows that I remember talking about, you know, in their infancy that are, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine's one that I remember talking about on the pilots episode. And it's one of my favorite shows now. So
yeah,
certainly, sure. You know, there's a possibility of that. It's fun to see which ones stay and which ones go and which one Nathan Fillion's going to be in this year. Yeah. So it's always good. Sure. And Dag.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ken.
No, Dag's in. Dag joined the cast of an already existing show.
RIP that show. That's tough.
Yeah, I know.
Star Trek.
But it's the ultimate challenge because I think it has Oprah behind it. So it's like, can Oprah overpower Dag's bad luck? I think that's the real.
We honestly need to make a pilot. I'm not joking. Where it's every actor who's in every pilot. And it's on. It's like Mike O'Malley, David Alan Green, and it's all of them in one. And that's the pitch, just to see how long the show will go.
Your original idea was great, where they are pilots,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
The show is just called
Pilot. Yeah,
and they are like they work at Spirit Air.
Yeah,
and they're all degenerates. And I'm in.
The only thing is though to make sure that we at least have one market, we need to rename it like Plainview Pilots, something like that.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart. Beaumont Pilots.
That's a great query. If it starred David Alan Greer and Mike O'Malley, would they offset each other and it would never get canceled?
It does 14 seasons.
It's like a magnet. New... You know, when you push them against each other, they...
Yeah. It's the new Cheers.
I'm laughing so hard at that.
By the way, if you told me there was a show with Michael, I know I'd be all in.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Pilots. After Grey's Anatomy.
I would love that show. Oh, man. Okay.
Reno. All right,
let's end on this, guys. I got to get back to Downton Abbey binge, or I'm never going to get done before the movie comes out. You know, we mentioned movie draft, things like that. That's kind of out of the question for the rest of the year because Richard, I believe, has Star Wars and Joker, which I think should seal the deal, but...
I don't know. He's
Brian's
way behind.
Yeah, I'm way behind.
Oh, okay.
I'm
like, I haven't checked the latest.
I'm like, I haven't updated in a while. I was waiting for It to kind of get its run in because there's not another movie. Well, Joker. Probably I'll wait till Joker... comes out and like really gets going, and then update everything so we can see what it looks like going into the last couple months. But
yeah. I just want America by
it's
America
be close.
I mean, America that listens to this show to support me, because if I win, Brian has to watch either Kent.
I mean,
this isn't Fanatic or Gotti.
Man, that's a tough, that's
or
a tough one.
Something else that we haven't really, we might be throwing you off with those two. You don't know.
Yeah. We'll have to see. There's definitely going to be a surprise for the listener when it comes to the movie draft.
We might have Industrial Light and Magic to replace Tim Curry with John Travolta in the original It. We don't know. We got that FU Patreon money now. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah. Where there's honestly, I honestly thought, Richard, when you, Brian, when you had both Hellboy and the Godzilla movie,
oof,
that was pretty
tough.
Rough.
Tough one, too. It's a tough one, too. But Spider-Man did well for me.
Yeah.
And Toy Story
Toy
did
Story
well.
Toy Story 2. I mean, Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Lion King, you had Richard, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Men in Black, did you have as well, Richard?
No, I think I had Men in Black, yeah.
Yeah, I had a
gosh.
Lego movie, which was a bummer.
Ooh.
That one surprisingly got me nothing.
That one can't be. That couldn't have lost you that much, though.
It just didn't make any money.
It
That's
made
the
me
thing.
No money.
Yeah.
Because it cost so much.
No, it just didn't.
It just didn't make it. It made less than $200 million globally.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it bombed. Yeah. And so, which none of us saw. Yeah. I mean, it's not like.
Too much Lego too fast. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They shouldn't
I agree.
Have done the Ninjago and the Batman thing between.
I agree. So. That hurt me, and then Lion King's reviews hurt me. It grossed plenty, but the reviews weren't great. So, Brian, it's going to be a big.
It's going to be a big. It's going to be a great race to the finish.
Yeah, it
though.
Is.
It really is because we got Frozen again coming out, and Zombieland's coming out, and it's going to be a lot of movies.
Yeah. Do y'all want an
generate
update?
Some buzz and money.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's been so I haven't updated
don't have
the
a,
sheet.
Don't we have
since
a VIP
July.
Doing this too, helping us out with this?
He is, and then there's a link on our site. If you go to madaboutmoviespodcast.com/moviedraft, or go to the website and hit movie draft at the top, you can see a sheet. Now it was last updated on the website on July 25th, so we've got a lot to go. Again, I'll do that in the next week or two, but at that point. Kent running away with it with 3,701 points.
So
and
far.
Then, yeah, so far. And still, that doesn't include It or Zombieland 2 or the $900 billion that Downton Abbey's going to make.
Yeah.
And then.
That would be so funny if that's what actually won it.
Just really put you over the top.
Ahead, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I come. Star Wars is great, and I come roaring back and. It cancels out Avengers, and then Kent beats me because Downton Abbey made more than Lego Movie.
It would be amazing. Then I'm sitting at 2,096 points, and with I still have Frozen 2 and Jumanji 3 to go.
Uh-huh.
And then Old Arby has 1,463 points with Joker and Star Wars to go, plus a little bit of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So
okay,
it's close.
Wow.
It's close. It's
you know
a,
what?
It's a 500 or 600 point spread, but it's very close.
I think Joker. Let's just play predictions now for the rest of this. I think Joker is going to make $500 million at least, and I think you're in for an easy bill on Star Wars. So add that up. Now, Rotten Tomatoes is going to affect that, and budget's going to affect that for sure. So. What'd you say you had Jumanji and Frozen?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I need Frozen to be big. I need Frozen to be big to
Frozen will make
put
a ton
away.
Of money. Will it be good? I'm way more nervous about it being good than I am about it making
I'm
money.
Nervous about every movie this year being good. Like this this year has been terrible on just the quality front. So, it's going to be a tight race. Going to be a tight race.
Yeah, I think Jumanji is a great pick though. I forgot about that one being this year.
We'll see. I mean, I felt pretty decent about Godzilla and even Men in Black at the time. I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. It's going to make money and be decent. Boy, I was wrong on two fronts. So it's a tough one. It's a tough year.
That was tough. All right. Well, just to round out this episode, what's one movie from each of you that you're really excited about seeing this year still. We've got a couple months left. Surely there's one movie that piques your interest. I know, Richard, you were really psyched for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but is there one, an Oscar-y type movie that you're psyched for?
I'm excited for Ford versus Ferrari.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I like both those actors. I like my last experience of like a true non-Fast and Furious car movie was Rush, which Kent, you and I saw together, which we really liked and Brian really liked. And so I'm in on it. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's good.
Bego?
Star Wars, you know, I'll stay on brand. That's my jam. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped to see how this whole thing ends.
Abominable for me.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to take that one from you. That's
yeah,
why I said
the
Star Wars.
Abominable one. It's the fourth of Abominable Snowman movie I've seen this year too, with Missing Link and what was the other one? Mm-hmm. There was another one too. This is like a couple months ago.
The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. Obviously, that's it's in the same cinematic universe.
Sam Elliott, man.
Yeah, it's a weird movie. Weird movie.
Have you seen that? No,
I did. Yeah, it's on Hulu, and it was. I would say it was a very good movie, and then it was like until the last 20 or 30 minutes, and then I was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is a good movie or not. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Oh, wow. So one that's got me a little curious is Dr. Sleep, because I've seen the trailer for this like 50 times this year. The Shining sequel with Ewan McGregor and Jacob Tremblay, who's in everything. You know, that's a tough movie to follow up, The Shining. So that one piques my interest. This Midway movie is weird, too. It's got Mandy Moore in it. Patrick Wilson. Like, you know, this was made in 2015 or something.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Roland Emmerich, baby.
Yeah. 1917, I'm really looking forward to. That's probably my number one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
1917
about that.
With sure. Sam Elliott. But yeah, it's going to be a nice kind of round out to the year. I don't think there's going to be any real surprises when it comes to Oscar movies or anything like that. You know, I don't see an independent movie really blowing us away and getting wide released at the last minute or anything like that. But sometimes that happens. The fact that Cats and Star Wars are being released on the same day is so funny, because that weekend is going to be like the either the best or worst social media weekend of all time, you know?
Yeah. I'm just going to go back and forth between those theaters.
And combine that with the Fox News movie coming out that same day, too.
Yeah. Star Wars at 7, Cats at 10, you know, just every 3 hours in one of those two movies, back and forth.
All right. Well, this has been another edition of the Movie Roundup, but we're going to move on to our weekly recommends. So let's do that, guys.
Weekly recommends.
B. Gill, what are you going to recommend, man?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend a documentary that I'd seen many years ago and then hadn't for a while. I didn't think it was available anywhere, and then it was, and then it became kind of relevant this last week. It's called The Devil and Daniel Johnston. It is on IMDb free. That's another streaming service that humans have access to if they so choose.
I only use Jobo.com streaming.
Right.
Plus.
Jobo Plus. Mm-hmm, right. I'm also a huge fan of that service. But it's on IMDb free if you want to check that out, or I'm sure you can find another way to rent it if you want to. It's a really interesting documentary about, if you don't know, Daniel Johnston's a singer-songwriter from, or kind of based out of Austin, I should say, who had a lot of issues, but also was kind of a genius and just wrote these remarkable and incredibly unique songs. He had a really strange and, again, unique voice. And he just died last week. He passed away. I'd watched this documentary like a week or two before and just was kind of reminded of like how great a lot of those songs are, and his writing voice is just completely different than really for me anything else I've ever heard. It's just a really beautiful way of speaking and writing and stuff, and it comes across in these songs. They're really cool. And there's a cool album that I need to look up the title of, that was, it's like half his singing voice can be an acquired taste, yeah, I would say.
It's very childlike and kind of purposefully green.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. But there's a great album that is half. It's like a double album, and it's the same songs, him singing on one side of the album or one disc or whatever, and then other bands and musicians and stuff singing the same songs on the
late great Daniel Johnston.
I think
I think that's what it's called.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. I think you're right. But it's like Death Cab and
TV on the Radio's on that.
TV on the Radio. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Bright Eyes, I think.
Discovered Covered is what it's called. The late great Daniel Johnston. Discovered Covered. Yeah.
Former.
So check that out too.
Detroit Lions great Calvin Johnston is on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a remarkably good singer. Yeah, had no idea. Bright Eyes
Megatron,
is a great.
Yeah, so good.
Anyway, yeah, Tom Waits. Check that out. Check out the album too. But the documentary is called The Devil and Daniel Johnston, and it's really good. And maybe especially for like our younger listeners, that might be an introduction to a new musician and stuff. So very cool, but sad too at the same time.
All right, RB, what you got?
I've got Bitcoin Billionaires.
There you go. That's sounds good.
Which is another recent book this year, which is kind of a sequel to The Accidental Billionaires with the Winklevoss. It's kind of a continuation of the Winklevoss story after The Social Network, which was based on The Accidental Billionaires. It's a really interesting book about the kind of early pioneers of Bitcoin, what that means, what that represents, and again, the Winklevoss, so to speak, sort of are Gumpian figures where they always kind of find themselves in the middle of these revolutions and make a lot of money, but not as much as they could and all that. So it's a really interesting, same writer as Accidental Billionaires, same reportage. It's really a great read, much like that book was. And hopefully there'll be a movie, and hopefully Armie Hammer will do it again and kind of a sequel, but who knows if we can get Sorkin and Fincher on board.
Awesome. That one sounds good. Yeah. That would make a good movie. I would definitely see that. Well, this comes the moment we've all been waiting for. I teased this earlier. I discovered this over the weekend. You guys know on the show, if you've listened for a while, I'm a cord cutter. I don't have cable or anything like that. So I'm really interested in streaming services, finding free TV, things like that. So I believe a listener recommended this service called Pluto TV. I don't know if you guys have seen this before.
Just seen the ad on my Roku.
Pluto.tv. Check it out. I was curious about it. I was like, well, I've seen this so much, I got to check it out. I downloaded it. It's completely free. It's basically like a TV guide, and every channel on the TV guide is some show that's streaming 24/7 episodes. And, you know, they've got commercials in between it because it's free, you know, a couple of the episodes. Sure. But so, for example, there's a Dog the Bounty Hunter channel on here that's just episodes of Dog, you know, streaming 24/7. There's a ton of cartoons and stuff if you've got kids, but it's really, really cool. And there's a channel for Wipeout, Richard. You know, we talked about how awesome Wipeout is. There's a channel that just streams that all the time. There's a channel that's just like footage of trains, like the front of trains. You know, so you're just like driving. It's like peaceful, like content where you're just like driving through like Austria and stuff. You know, it's like there's like I think there's 1,000 channels on here of content, wow. But it's all free. There's Nickelodeon stuff. There's like all kinds of music content that's looping. But man, there's some incredible offerings on here. There's a 007 channel that's just all the 007 movies on a loop. So really cool free thing if you're a cord cutter and you know want stuff on in the background, things like that, and you're looking for a fun option, check out Pluto.tv. Never would have expected that I would like it, but killed about 2 hours the other day just scrolling through all these and looking at all the ridiculous channels that they came up with for this service. It's pretty funny. But Pluto.tv, check it out, download it. Non-paid advertisement by Kenny.
Nice. So far, non-paid. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Okay, that does it for this movie news edition of the Mad About Movies podcast. We are reviewing The Goldfinch this week on the main feed. If you want our thoughts on that movie, if we get a full episode's worth of them without ranting.
A lot of screaming, yeah. I think. A lot of screaming in this one, you know, yelling and stuff, heavy sighs.
Check that out on the main feed as well. VIPs, shout out to you because Pulp Fiction Talk this week in the VIP, probably movie we've gotten requested the most to do an episode on, aside from Shawshank, which we did last week in the VIP.
Flubber. So
if you like Flubber or Shawshank or Flubber and Shawshank, you know,
wow.
combined.
Put your hands together.
We did make that.
That's how he got out of prison.
Edit.
Yeah. was the Flubber. Robin Williams smuggled him in some Flubber and oh my goodness. That's so funny.
He crawled through 500 yards of
flubber. Oh, yes, yes. Ooh,
just flubber in his face the whole way. All right.
And the flubber's like, Lewinsky, Lewinsky.
Check that out, VIPs. If you want more of that, it's madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Sign up for that. More content coming at you over there. And we love the word content around here. So, Richard, where can I find your content online?
So
specifically 8x10s
yeah.
of you.
I will mail 8x10s to anyone that adds me.
Please do that. If you request an 8x10 of Richard, I'm going to go ahead and say it. He will send you a signed one.
Just specify just part of his body. Yeah.
I'm only going to go get him taken and printed everything. Just go. Just like four people say, Richard, I'd like one.
This is a good test to see if anyone listens to this part of the show. You can find me at Richard Barden on all the social. Kent, where can I find you?
On all the social at Kent Garrison. Where can I find you, Brian?
You can find me on Twitter, BGill12. I'm writing at madaboutmoviespodcast.com and the Mad About Movies Podcast newsletter, one of which will be out this week, I think. So, ready for that.
Awesome. Excited about it. Stay tuned for Downton Abbey talk maybe next week, something like that. I don't know. There's a ton of movies coming out lately. And maybe might be Rambo, might be this Ad Astra movie. Depending on what happens at the box office, we'll see. But until then, we'll see you at the cinema. Bye.
Bye.